Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the 20th Sunday of which I read is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And when the king came in, he looked at the guests. He saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how do you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendant, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, and few are chosen." A strong text. The gospel within this text is the fact that God invites all to receive forgiveness of sins. That in itself is a feast. It's the gracious mercy of God being delivered in abundance. But in order to enjoy the abundance of forgiveness, in order to even enjoy the setting of such a feast, there needs to be actual receiving. And when there is not actual receiving, when the feast of forgiveness of sins, the feast of the gospel, when it's taken for granted, despised, or rejected, the king doesn't take it lightly. To be sure, the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins, is in this text. It's the very feast of abundance. But along with such gospel comes a loving care of a warning to those who hear this parable. It's the warning that God's call be received rightly. For when and where it is not, there is removal. And some may be saying to themselves right now, "Well, this message doesn't apply to me or to us because we're here receiving what God has to give." And it can be agreed that you have been overcome by the call of the gospel, that the gospel of God brought you here to receive. But even you, receivers, need to be warned to watch out for complacency. Even you, receivers, need to be rightly proclaimed to keep you rightly knowing that it is the righteousness of Christ that is accounted to you because of God-given faith alone. Just like a wedding garment put on you to wear at a wedding feast, because you would never be allowed to remain while in your own tattered, wretched, sinful garments. Some might be thinking that you don't need to hear such a warning as this because you consider yourself as part of the choir. Following the popular saying, you're preaching to the choir. But like a fellow pastor friend has explained to his brother pastors and to his own congregation, you must preach to the choir because that's what keeps the choir the choir. With that comes the Holy Scripture text that always humbles those who think so highly of themselves. Let those who think they stand take heed, lest they fall. So in this line of warning of the Lord, through 1532, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther proclaimed this in a sermon on this text in this way. In this gospel lesson, our Lord Jesus Christ warns us to guard against the sin of despising and opposing God's word. He also gives an example of those who do and how horribly God has punished them for scorning his word and killing his servants. Especially, however, the Lord warns us against the false security, which not only causes people to despise God's word, but at the same time makes them so cocky in their own minds about things continuing to go well with them. Even in the 1500s, Luther proclaims, it is still the same today when the precious gospel is expounded, the world plays its little game, becoming worse than it was before as everybody bustles around with activity. Of course, apart from that, there is a great deal about us that is contrary to our Lord God and justly displeases him. Things like anger, impatience, greed, belly-serving, sexual voyeurism, evil lusts, fornication, hatred, and other vices, which are nothing other than abominable mortal sins, rampant everywhere in the world. Father Luther continues, but such sins are nothing compared to the terrible disdain of the divine word. Disdain that is so deep and so perverse that in truth, greed, stealing, adultery, and so forth cannot even compare. Yes, indeed, these sins would be as nothing if the people would only love and esteem God's word. However, sad to say, the opposite is the case. And as a result, the whole world is inundated by such sins. Peasants and wealthy could care less about the gospel. They snarl against it and don't even regard that as being sinful. Truly, I am shocked to see how people in the church, on the right and on the left, yawn away so that out of a great throng of people, there are hardly 10 or 12 who are actually present in order to receive from the preaching. Luther goes on to give examples of where God's word was at one time, being faithfully delivered in its truth and purity. But eventually it was despised and rejected, not receiving the warnings contained within, the rolling of the eyes, the yawning, the inattentiveness to the word of God continued. Jerusalem, Italy, Spain, Greece. You look at the condition of those countries. In most of Europe and other countries, we can add to that list Sweden, Canada, Finland, Australia, who now, when a pastor preaches the truth of God's word, they're thrown in jail. What's happening in Houston should not surprise us. God's word being rejected right in our very own country. And look where those countries headed. Where are we? Luther gets to the heart of the matter when he states, if you are not going to listen to God's word, if there is no hearkening to what should be your most sacred treasure, then who do you think you're listening to? The devil will have his way with you. Now listen to him. Now that is a wake-up call, is it not? Again, this is a loving warning revealed in this parable from Christ, because he is the faithful one who cares for you Luther goes on in his sermon on this text, hammering the point of despising God's word over and over, easily a 30-minute sermon with 25 minutes of warning. And why? Out of love and care for God's holy word, which, because of the holy gospel contained within it, inevitably brings a love and care for neighbor. Luther's God-created desire for man was that they be receivers, not despisers or indifferent of God's word. Why? Because what is proclaimed in Romans 10:17, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. As proclaimed in the Isaiah text today, listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. When God's word is heeded, when listened to, when received, God is at work, creating and sustaining his gift of faith. And where there is faith, good works necessarily happen. God is the creator of both within you. It's why Luther created the post-communion collect, the praise, "We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift." That being the word made flesh, just received through the ears and the mouth. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same word, word made flesh, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, and listen through whom it always happens by faith alone, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. This is what Luther has in mind when he concludes his sermon. "We must therefore learn to guard against the sin of despising God's word or taking it for granted, instead esteeming it highly and hearkening to it diligently and gladly. Let us therefore not follow the examples of those who have despised it in the past, but gladly and diligently hear the word, and in all good faith regard those who invite to the wedding feast as dear and precious for the sake of the Lord who sends them out. Then the Lord will be with us in every need to help and protect us and finally give us eternal life for the sake of his Son, our loving bridegroom, Christ the Lord. What more should he do? He offers us his grace and also faithfully warns us against harming ourselves. If we then are lost, the guilt is not his, but ours. May our loving God grant us grace to receive this such faithful admonition and diligently guard against the despising of his word. Amen." The gospel within this text is the fact that God invites all to receive forgiveness of sins by grace alone, because of the merits of Christ crucified and risen for you alone, through faith alone. That in itself is a feast. It's the gracious mercy of God being delivered in abundance. He continually gives it to you each week to create and sustain you in the one true faith. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do